16, we see here is how the sages are more eager to hear more. So actually, 9th verse should say, 9th verse, I missed the translation, where Maharaj says that, Sukadeva Goswami says, O sages, I have described almost everything regarding the narrations of Lord Krishna in connection with the history of Pious Parikshit. So it's as if like, you know, everything is done. But sages ask more questions and express more eagerness, like we want to hear more about Parikshit, tell us more. So this is all about this in this section. We'll also get that application point as to like how we should develop this eagerness to hear. So we'll skip these verses, we covered this. So same 10 to 17, eagerness to hear about the Lord. So outline is 10 to 11, they describe the glories of hearing about the Lord. 12, sages say, you know, they are not, this sacrifice was only giving us smoke, but actually we are only satisfied by your hearing, by hearing from you. And then they this is a very nice verse, 13th verse, it's a glories of pure devotees, very, very often quoted verse. And 14 to 17, then again sages say, you know, we want to hear more and more. Text number 10. Yaya katha bhagavata katha niyoru karmana kura karma shreya pumbe samse vyasta bhushibi. Translation: those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead who acts wonderfully. So here the main theme Srila Prabhupada describes is the point about submissively hearing. So the person who wants to achieve complete perfection, what he has to do is submissively hear to the topics related to this personality of Godhead. Who acts wonderfully. Like Urukrama, that's one of the word also, which describes it. The Lord who acts wonderfully. So then in the purport, Prabhupada describes that what is the glories of hearing about the Lord. So the glories are, in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, it's described, right? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam yeti so arjuna. So it pushes one towards eternal life just by hearing about the Lord's activities and glories. So one lecture I heard, it was describing about Krishna's appearance, how complicated it was, like, you know, he's born like as Vishnu form and then child, and then it got exchanged here. It was very, very intricate. Actually, the one we know is just in surface level, but that Prabhu, I don't remember which Prabhu, he was describing very much so complicated way. And then at the end, what I heard or what I kept with me is he told that's what it means to, you know Krishna, is that you spend the whole life trying to figure this out. Whole life history, okay, how did Krishna born, how did he do this activity? Then at the end of the life, you'll become Krishna conscious and you'll leave basically you'll attain Krishna Loka. So that's what, by he continuously whole life, we meditate on Krishna like this, then as Krishna promises, next life we'll go back to him and there is no birth again in this material world. That's the second point Prabhupada says, you know, this is the way to remedy for birth and death. The only way is hearing about the Lord. That's so easy. And it's so easy that, you know, sometimes we feel, is it really, you know, it's so simple, right? So we feel it should be more complicated than this. But it's very simple. Hearing is so powerful that it changes the consciousness and purifies the heart. Because this is one of the verses in Bhagavatam, right? Shunvatam Svakata Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana Hrudayantasto Hi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. So what happens when we hear, when the truthful devotee develops the eagerness to hear, Lord within the heart cleanses the heart of all the contamination. So that's what is happening. It's not, you know, my act of I'm sitting and hearing, but seeing that eagerness, Lord is pleased and he does the dirty work, so-called. This gives the devotee transcendental bliss, and this should be the goal of life, to return back to Krishna. So, as part of the purport, systematic hearing means knowing him gradually in truth and fact, and this knowing him in truth and fact means attaining eternal life as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Such transcendental glorified activities of Lord Sri Krishna are the prescribed remedy for counteracting the process of birth, death, old age and disease. The culmination of such a perfection of life is the goal of human life and the attainment of transcendental bliss. So text number 11, now sages start asking, because Sutta Goswami said, no, I'm done with everything, or everything related to Parikshit Maharaj. Now they are asking further like this. Rishaya Uchu Suta Jiva Sama Saumya Shashvati Vishadam Yasha Yastvam Sama Shashi Krishnasya Matyanam Amritam Hinam. The good sages said, O grave Suta Goswami, may you live many years and have eternal fame, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is just like nectar for mortal beings like us. So now sages are appreciating what they have received, and they are in turn glorifying Suta Goswami. You know, you are so wonderful, you are talking about Krishna. In the initial first chapter also they tell like that, right? You are so great, you know, because you are so qualified, and they glorify, you know, because you heard in disciplic succession, you not only heard, you realized it, so you know everything, you tell us. So similarly, you know, again they are glorifying, appreciating their good fortune, and they are saying this is just like nectar for mortal beings like us. So in this purport, Prabhupada describes about how Lord is transcendental. All his activities, everything is transcendental. So in that he says that, for example, Lord does not act or take birth like us. We take birth out of force, right? Because we have the desire to enjoy this material world, so we are forced to take birth. Lord also comes, but out of his free will, that we all know. And then his body is not material, is not made of matter, and it's also not changeable like us. So our body goes through six transformations, right? It born, grows, and then stays for some time, dwindles, and then vanishes. Six things in that. But Lord's body doesn't happen like that. And then the very nice incident regarding this is like Bhishmadev's pastime in that during the Kurukshetra war, where, you know, Krishna attacks Bhishmadev with the weapon, right? But Bhishmadev took that opportunity to shoot arrows to Krishna, and in reciprocation with that arrows, actually Krishna manifested blood, everything, and then sweat also while running, and the hair were losing, everything, right? So in that discussion, it said that, you know, actually Krishna's body is transcendental. It's not like, you know, it's made of blood and flesh and all these things, all these things. But there, in order to reciprocate with Bhishmadev, he considered those arrows are like flowers. Flower showered by the lover. So, you know, and the mood is like that. Vishnudev wants to fight him, so he wants to show that same thing. So, but even though we may see like that, Lord's body is not material at all. It's completely transcendental. And he performs such things in order to confuse the atheists. That's why his passing away pastime is also there. So that, you know, people who want to believe Krishna is ordinary person, they have enough things to believe that. But we are given the, you know, when we are submissive to the Lord, we want to surrender to the Lord, we hear from acharyas, where we get the real thing that, you know, Krishna is not an ordinary person. And that's why by hearing about him, we also can get out of this cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, if Krishna is an ordinary person, what's the point? Yeah. So, same point again. One who understands this has no rebirth. Because what will happen, he will get admitted to spiritual realm, and he engages in transcendental loving service both in this world and in the next world. So, little section from the purport. Therefore, the more we hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, as they are stated in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we can know about his transcendental nature and thus make definite progress on the path back to Godhead. So, yesterday in the Bhagavad Gita class, Prabhu was quoting one incident like how significance of hearing. So, during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, like Prabhu, Maharaj was giving class to his disciples in Vrindavan. But at the same time, in one of the temples, there was Darshan was opening. So, they were ringing the bell. So, many of the disciples got up and went. So then after that, he still continued, and Srila Prabhupada stayed in the audience because he always liked to hear. And later on, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he remarked that during initiation, he said, yes, I am going to give initiation to him because he listens well. And then when the disciples came back, then he said, okay, why did you go? What did you see? Oh, we went to see Krishna. He said, no, you didn't see Krishna, you just saw stone. Because the thing is, we have so many misconceptions about, you know, who is Lord and who are we and our relationship, everything. So if we don't hear, we go with that same conceptions and see things as we see, right? Then what's the point? But the main thing in spiritual life is we see through our ears. That's why they say, right, in Vrindavan Parikramas also, we don't go around seeing temples. Of course, we go there for that environment, everything. But main thing we do is sit and hear from spiritual master who has realized that knowledge, and who can, by hearing him, we can also get some little bit of that realization. Text number 12. Karmani asmin anashvase duma dumartamama bhavan apayati govinda pada padmasavam madhu. We have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Govinda, which you are distributing. So in this verse, Rompal Maharaj says, this is a Shastric quotation to say that no other sacrifice will work in this age. If you want to refer, like, you know, somebody wants asking, oh, I want to do this yagya, that yagya, you know, why it doesn't work? No, this is the way the sages are confirming that they sat together with a very good motive, right? They want to give benefit to the whole society. But then they are saying that actually we were not even certain of the result. What will happen, we don't know. And also, more than that, our faces, our bodies are covered with smoke. That's what we got. when contrary to that, we are actually more pleased by hearing about the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's what is nourishing us. That's what we want. So the sages are...
Question, Maharaji. So they said they are doing fruitive activity, but they are not doing with fruitive intent, was it?
Their intent was to benefit the society. But it was classified under Karma Kanda section, this thing. It was not like completely spiritual activity. It was still considered Karma Kanda. At least that's what I understood.
Motive was pure, but yeah, still had a tinge of desire.
Yeah.
So that could be the reason. Okay. Because these people are very advanced sages. They are not doing it with a pure...
Sutta Goswami was present, and that's why they're asking those six questions.
So the sacrifice and the questioning was happening
concurrently.
Mm.
They started it, and then Sutta Goswami came. Then they started asking.
How does Srimad Bhagavatam start? The sages were all assembled, and
to
then
to perform
and then Sutta Goswami came, or is it the other way? Sutta Goswami comes, and then they start the yajna.
No, they start. They wanted to. Do something for the people, so they started
not knowing
you know what should be done, everything. That's why initially it was fruitive. Then when Sutta Goswami comes, he reveals, no, this is not the way. Actual sacrifice is hearing about the glories of the Lord. Then it came completely transcendental. That's why, you know, they are immediately seeing the benefit. So then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes about flaws in the sacrifice. There are many flaws, and mainly is, especially in this age, is acute scarcity of expert brahmanas. No, because anything has to be done, it has to be properly, you know, this perfect brahmanas, they have to utter proper mantras, and we have seen many incidents in the history, right? When mantra is little bit twisted, the whole result is opposite. Like Indra and Vritrasura. like in, who Vritras, Indra wanted to
so
do.
Basically, Tvashta. Tvashta's son is the Vishwarupa. So Indra kills Vishwarupa. So Tvashta, his son is being killed. So he wanted to actually produce a son who should be killed. Who should kill,
you should
Indra.
Kill Indra.
So Indraha. So I think he said Indra.
Indrahana. Hana or something. Yeah.
So instead of Indrahana. He said Indra, so basically instead of to kill Indra, he said to be killed by
Indra.
So just one letter, instead of so one letter is this
yeah.
thing. So instead of he going to kill, he going to kill Indra.
So Vritrasura is born, who is killed by Indra.
Who is going to be killed by Indra.
Yeah, so these are like all the scientific things are, slokas are so precise, supposed to be spoken properly. And Prabhupada is saying, you know, there are no qualified brahmanas like that, so what's the, there is no, it's a major flaw. And then, as sages were also saying, the result is uncertain. Like, and Prabhupada gives examples of agricultural enterprises. Like, for any farm community or anything to grow, it's all completely dependent on the rain. So, if rain is not there, result is uncertain. When rain is there, it comes. Otherwise, no. So, it's like that. And also says, main thing is, in this age, the only possible solution is Harirnama Eva Kevalam. Otherwise, all these methods are useless. So, Prabhupada was saying, you know, many brahmanas, they try to cheat people because of that. They have tendency, you know, cheat people saying, oh, I'll do this sacrifice. But actually, they're just cheating because there is no use in this age. So, then sages express, you know, now we are fully satisfied, like Prabhupada was describing, they're feeling as if we are being nourished immediately by eating food. So this Prabhupada describes, right, Pareshanubhuti. In Bhagavad Gita, he says, like, generally people ask this question, okay, I'm trying to take spiritual life, how do I know I'm making progress? Like, how do I judge? Like, then Prabhupada says, you know, if you are eating food, nobody else has to tell you when you're full or when you're satisfied. You know for sure when it happens. So similarly, in spiritual life, you will know step by step, you know, I'm losing taste from these material things, or, you know, I'm gaining taste towards hearing Krishna, about Krishna, serving devotees and things like that. So gradually we will know. So similarly, sages were also saying, we are getting fully satisfied through hearing about you, about the Lord. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Vishnu tells Shiva that in the age of Kali, men full of anxieties of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activity and philosophical speculations. But when they are engaged in devotional service, the result is sure and certain, and there is no loss of energy. In other words, nothing performed for spiritual realization or for material benefit can be successful without the devotional service of the Lord. So here, Vishnu is telling Lord Shiva that actually, in Kali, the only thing is to be engaged in devotional service. That's when result is sure and certain. Otherwise, as I just said, it's uncertain. And the other point is, even for to get spiritual realization. See, that's why even if the sages started out saying, you know, I want to do spiritual benefit for others, but I do this yajna, there is not going to be use. Because it has to be devotional service to the Lord. Text number 13. तुल्यं मूलेनापि न स्वर्गं न पुनर्भवं भगवत् संगि संगस्य मात्यानां किं उतासिसा. Yeah, this is the verse, it's often quoted emphasizing the importance of association with pure devotees. Many of you might have heard this, bhagavat sangi sangasya, that's one of the key phrase here. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. So here in this verse, the sages are saying, the moment's association with devotee of the Lord is way, you cannot even compare with anything you get in this material world. So that's what Srila Prabhupada picks up in the purport as well. It will cover that in the section we discuss later. So then in this purport, Prabhupada, Prabhu's slide, it's like that, you know, Narayana Parayana, all the characteristics, right? We could have put like that. So characteristics of pure devotees, they are, you know, they think heavenly pleasure is like phantasmagoria. It's like they don't even care about all these things. And then already they're already liberated from material conceptions. So because they are already doing transcendental service in this world and next and later on, then even in this world they are liberated and they are engaged in loving service of the Lord. So as Prabhupada says, it's like government servant. Government servant is always a government servant, whether it's a home, office, or with relatives, anybody. So it's like pure devotee is always serving the Lord, wherever he is, like heaven or hell. Then even if he doesn't care about heavenly pleasure, then what to speak of material benedictions, like, you know, things about this world, which are going to end with this life. They are not even considered. It's not even important. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about two types of association. One is Yosit Sanghi. So this is referring to association with materialistic people, which is condemned, which is not recommended. And the other one, contrary to that, is Bhagavata Sanghi. Bhagavata Sanghi is devotees who are dedicated to hearing the Lord's activities, form, pastimes, pure devotees. Association with them is recommended, and that's what helps us get out of this world. So in this regard, Rompada Maharaj was quoting a couple of incidents. Like, many of you might have heard about Srila Giriraj Maharaj's story, right? I don't know. So Maharaj joined Prabhupada, and Maharaj is like very, very pure and simple. So he is not materially clever in the sense of, you know, dealing with like all these things. But because of his purity and his so much surrendered attitude towards Prabhupada, even though he was made as, you know, Juhu temple president, he succeeded the whole project because of his desire to serve Prabhupada. So he went to India and he was doing all this. Suddenly his father is very, very rich. He's a lawyer or judge or something in US, very rich. So he figured that his son has gone into all these things. And then he came to meet his son, and he said, very slowly he's saying, you know, I'm going to give you $1 million. You quit this movement, you quit this society and come to me now. Then he said, no, thank you. So then then Maharaj was saying, actually he could have, you know, quit for some time to quit and then come back again, but because he's so ethical, he's so chaste, he didn't even consider that. And see, we can even see even now, wow, Maharaj, the same thing continues because of that loyalty towards Prabhupada. Like, even he, like, of course he is not an ordinary person, but he was exemplifying this, you know, this material things are no where compared to, you know, that association with Prabhupada, serving Prabhupada, all those things. So another incident was, this is about, you know, how much Prabhupada was inspiring people to surrender. So Satswarup Goswami Maharaj, initial stages, okay, after that he took sannyas, but earlier he was married, and before married he was just doing job. I don't know what specific job, but what he was doing, whatever he was earning, he was giving to Prabhupada's paying apartment. And social service, so.
So whatever the rent they used to pay for the temple in the New York, he used to give the rent.
Yeah, full rent. So all his earnings he gave, plus whatever time he has, he used to transcribe Prabhupada's dictaphone, that these things into this thing. So one day he came to give the cassette back and also the whatever he typed back to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada looked at him, and Maharaj in the lecture he was telling, he gestured by some way, I couldn't definitely figure that what the gesture, but when Maharaj came, Prabhupada looked at him and he said, you love me, I love you. So he says, like, then Maharaj understood that, you know, from, he immediately bowed down and he started weeping. He understood that I'm giving my heart to Prabhupada. He understands that. Like how another example was also there, right? Malati Mataji, Prabhupada says once, like, India or somewhere, you know, she came and she had a small baby, and they were trying to cook for Prabhupada, and all the devotees who were coming serve them, and she has to go across the street somewhere very far, fight with the
No, actually this was in Mayapur. So Prabhupada has invited all his Lord brothers, you know, all the So then Malati Mataji has to go to the market, and she has to fight with the vendors because they cheat, right, usually. So she used to go get vegetables herself, and she used to come and she used to cook for Prabhupada. So that's the time he told in front of everybody. Because she is giving her life, I can give my life for her.
She can, he told, like, she can cut her throat for me, I can cut my throat for her. Like that he told.
I can give my life to her, basically.
Yeah. So that's the, that's another point, actually main point we have to discuss is that pure devotees, they don't have anything material to give. Because they have complete shelter of the Lord, they don't have anything material. As Prabhu said, whatever we have, we can give. They don't have anything material. So all they give is spiritual topics. All they give is, you know, attraction towards Krishna or attraction or impetus for spiritual life. That's what we see when we meet Maharajas or something, right? Of course, we don't go for, you know, please give me blessings for the baby or something like that. We don't ask. But even if we ask, they tell it in a spiritual way, like these things, right?
I remember in like 98-99 time, Harilas Prabhu, this temple, like very few devotees, not like 10-15 devotees. You know. Then how this temple used to run was like Harilas Prabhu will come and he will cook and then he will do deity dressing. Some other was also there, but he was still helping. He will give class, then he will distribute prasadam, then he will clean. Everything was done by him. So I was wondering like how the money is coming. Then I saw that Prabhu was one of the biggest donors, funded basically, running the temple for many, many years. And that time, you know, even the other devotees, they will donate is like $50, something like that, $25, $10. But temple doesn't run like that, it's hundreds of dollars. He used to pay everything, nobody gave me yours.
Actually, he did that, he did it in Paris too. So once he established the Paris temple, from Paris temple he moved to Bharti. So he said he spent his own money, he again recreated the Bharti temple, established, then they sent him to Seattle so he can deal with the temple.
And Prabhu shared one time, once Harivilas Prabhu told, when I die, I want to die poor, he told, Harivilas Prabhu said, you know.
So he told, when I die, I don't want to have any attachments, I want to die very poor. So that way I won't think of anything else, I just think of Krishna.
Yeah. So these are like our, you know, living Bhagavad Sanghi.
Yeah,
Sangha.
For
yeah.
For example, like Maharaj was saying that we only think that Narayana Pranam was like Maharaj Pariksha, Amrish Maharaj. So he said it's not like that. You know, we can still see examples. I mean, we have two examples. One was Sridhar Maharaj. Sridhar Maharaj, who died from, you know, cancer, something happened. Then, you know, whoever met him, during the last time, I mean, he was like so jolly, and he was so, you know,
he was called like
easy.
Jolly Swami, yeah.
Jolly Swami,
yes.
And the other example was the
Bhakti Ditta Maharaj.
So the examples are there actually, right now it's there.
It's true. Yeah. So some of the points from Prabhupada. When there are, here Prabhupada is saying, you know, there is no comparison. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of pure devotee to anything material. Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. So they cannot give anything material. They have only spiritual assets. Sudha Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. So they also could appreciate that, you know, this is not ordinary. We may think, you know, Rompal Maharaj comes, okay, every once, three times a year, you know, then, you know, oh, I have to go to work, I have to do all these things, you know, but we should always hear, this is not ordinary association. We don't get it, it's out of their causeless mercy, they take the pain to, you know, travel all over the world just to give the message they heard, they realized, as a reciprocation to Srila Prabhupada. So we from our side try our best to, you know, take advantage of that. The only service we can do at this point is sit and hear properly. So hopefully one day, you know, we'll realize and we can do something about it. Text number 14. Kona prasavarkatanyam mahatmaikanta parayanasya nantam gunanam agunasya jagmur yogeshwaraye bhava padma mukhyam. The personality of Godhead Lord Krishna, Govinda, is exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and his transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? See, as we see now, sages are, you know, more and more trying to say, you know, we are not satisfied. Tell us more, tell us more. So in this verse, main significant point is about this exclusive shelter. I didn't highlight the Sanskrit of this. Anybody can figure out what is that? I think, Aikanta Parayanasya, I think. Aikanta Parayanasya. So it's exclusive shelter of all living, great living beings. And the other point is, this great demigods like Lord Shiva and Brahma, they also cannot measure the attributes of Lord Krishna. So that's why they are saying, you know, who is expert in relishing the rasa, how can we satiate it? We want to hear more and more. So sages express their eagerness to hear more. And in this purport, Prabhupada talks about how these demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they are very powerful, they have a lot of mystic powers, but still they cannot estimate Krishna. So for example, Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison. It's not just one drop or one microgram, right? He could drink the whole ocean of poison just for the sake of benefiting everyone, right? And then Brahma also, he can create demigods like Lord Shiva also. They are very powerful. But what is the essence of this is that they also cannot estimate Krishna. We have seen, right, how Brahma tried to estimate Krishna, or, you know, tried to figure, think that, you know, my mystic powers are better than Krishna. And he stole the calves and cows, everything. And then it was a flop show. So that's the point Prabhupada is telling, you know, this Lord's attributes cannot be measured by demigods. So then these demigods are also attracted to topics of Krishna. Why? Why? Because everybody is seeking for enjoyment, rasa. And because Lord is unlimited, and the unlimited pleasure can only be obtained in transcendental loving service, that's why they are attracted to Krishna. It's like similar to this Atmarama verse, right? Atmarama are self-satisfied, self-realized people. But still they take attraction hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means Srimad Bhagavatam is above liberation also. So Lord is unlimited, and therefore whoever can listen from Lord, they will never feel satiated. Satisfied is a different word, we should use satiated. So the contrary to that is that, you know, we always run around this material things, you know, I want this, and there also we feel it's never ending. We want something, and after that, you know, still we are not satisfied, we want some more, we keep going, running around like this. But instead of that, somehow if we divert that to Krishna, there also we'll see we can forever go on. There is never ending. Only that is the way I think we can be saved. Somehow, if we have that little bit of taste for Krishna Katha or serving devotees or chanting any of these, one of these, or all of this. There is no end to such transcendental discourses. In mundane affairs, there is a law of satiation. But in transcendence, there is no such satiation. Suta Goswami desired to continue the topics of Lord Krishna before the sages of Naimisharanya, and sages also expressed their readiness to hear from him continuously. Since the Lord is transcendence and his attributes are transcendental, such discourses increase the receptive mood of the purified audience. So here, as Rumpa Maharaj also always says, right, like when I see audience very eager to hear, I like to come and speak. Right? That's when they also get more, you know, I want to share. So Suta Goswami wanted to tell more about Krishna. And he sees at the same time that sages are also more eager to hear. Then it becomes a perfect match. And also because of the topics are very transcendental, it increases the receptive mood. If it's some material topics or something, naturally people after some time will get bored and they don't want to listen. Because it's transcendental topics, the spirit soul is being nourished. So they started getting more and more eagerness to hear more. Text number 15. Tanno Bhagavan Vai Bhagavat Pradano Mahatma Ekanta. Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham Shushrushatam No Vitanotu Vidvan. O Suta Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages. So here one point sages are saying is that personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. That means you don't have any other shelter but the Lord. That's why the word Bhagavat Pradano. So there is no other shelter for you other than the Lord, because you are a pure devotee, Mahabhagavata. That's why, please describe more about the Lord's activities which are transcendental, because we are very anxious to hear. So then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about there are two ways of hearing transcendental messages, which we have heard many times. So proper way is that the speaker's only object of worship should be Krishna, Sri Krishna. And then the audience, and the same thing, you know, qualifications of audience should be, audience should also be very eager to hear about the Lord, not with a material motive, no, if I hear something, not with dharma, artha, karma, moksha, okay, I'll do some kind of religious activity so that I'll get some money, so that I can do some sense gratification. That should not be the sequence. It should be like, I want to hear because it's about Krishna, I want to develop the relationship with Krishna. That's the pure motive. Then what will happen in such a discourse is like, it's very congenial for continuous discourses. You can go on forever. Such an audience is there and such a speaker is there, and there is no material motive in this, and both of them receive transcendental pleasure, unlimited transcendental pleasure. And the improper way is, there are professional speakers like Bhagavata Saptas, they do these days, and they do for family maintenance. It's like, okay, I'll get some money, I'll take care of my family. And similarly, the audience they receive is also materially absorbed, because they want to do this, I will do some pious activity so I'll get some money so I can enjoy these things. So then the result is, actually they do, even though they're speaking Bhagavatam, right, it's like milk touched by the mouth of the serpent. So it's tinged and it's contaminated. So the message is covered, like how illusory potency, that verse is there, right? Four kinds of people don't surrender. Illusory potency covers the effect. Maya partha jnana. So the knowledge is covered by illusory potency. So then there is no purification. And after the discourse, what will happen? Speaker and the audience, they both engage in material activities. They go, you know, take BD or watch movies or same thing. So there is no transformation. No transformation. There is no use. Ultimately, it's waste of time. So the discourses between the saints of Naimisharanya and Sri Suta Goswami are on the transcendental level. There is no motive for material gain. In such discourses, unlimited transcendental pleasure is relished both by the audience and by the speaker, and therefore they can continue the topics for many thousands of years.
So I have one question on the previous slide. So Srimad Bhagavatam is so powerful that even if somebody is doing it for family maintenance, they should be purified.
No, but it's eventually maybe little bit, but because the motive is different, right? See, for example, Bhagavad Gita also, it's been translated by Mayavadis, right, to have a concocted meaning, even the so-called Bhagavad Gita.
But Srimad Bhagavatam is more powerful.
So whatever it is,
it should automatically
depend on the speaker.
No, it depends on the motive change of the whole thing. If motive is wrong, the effect is different. Krishna reciprocates based on the desire of the... See, all of us may attend class and listen, but based on our motive, why we are doing, a result is different. Somebody makes advancement, somebody doesn't make, somebody goes back sleepy, somebody like that, right? Why? It's all, how it's happening is based on each of us, our intent.
I actually heard this one article explicitly on this one. Even amongst the devotees, many of them hear Bhagavatam also, but the purification is not happening. Because if you see all the people who speak Bhagavat Saptah, they come, they speak, all the people very attentively hear, go back, and they are actually back into their own mind. But here, we also hear, but the thing is, after hearing what we do, is actually we serve. if the service is not there, whatever we hear doesn't sink into the heart. He says, most of us will hear, but when you do the service, the blessing will open the doors of our heart to make us understand the message correctly. So that is where we see. Even if the devotee is here from a proper source also, without service, that will not enter into the core of the heart. It will just remain there. And there is no transformation happening. It's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, just addition to that service. So when we do service, actually, basically, service means you are acting on a constitutional position. So you are acting on what you heard.
What you heard.
Then it's only it will
work. Application.
Application.
Yeah. Especially the, in the service is to please, act in a way to please the speaker, the guru.
Yes,
they are pleased.
So basically,
acting,
what I meant was acting in constitutional position means acting in your sarupa. Means there is actually no tinge of materialism.
Yes.
Doing serving for the purpose of service.
Yes.
Then only the transformation will happen. Otherwise, transformation will not. Otherwise, you know, if I am even acting, but with material desire, then it is as it will not work.
So we are seeing people who come in the temple initially, they help in kitchen cooking or cleaning vessels. They're eventually becoming devotees.
Yes.
So it is working.
Because the prasadam is acting, see. In third chapter, yesterday only we were reading, the third chapter, seventh verse, when you eat prasadam, there is a gradual purification with prasadam acting, right? Cleansing the mind. So some of the cluttering which is there on the mind is removed.
So another point is, it doesn't mean people come already are pure devotees. We are we also not, right? So the thing is, what is our is the intent pure? Is the intent set on the goal to become pure? Then that's all. That's all is needed. That's what Krishna sees. Once that is there, you know, whatever we do, that will be covered with that pure intent. Then Krishna will help accordingly to cleanse the heart. Otherwise, you know, if the speaker is also for family maintenance is doing and audience is also absorbed for that, then both of them are not going to get benefit.
Prabhu was saying that for a devotee, if he's in the mud, but if there is a next truth, is you know, he's in a mud. Exactly. But let's say he is stuck in the mud and his vision is the next building up. That should be his goal. Then he is a successful devotee.
Intent, yes.
You are still stuck in the material world, but if your intent is to go up, desire, that is good enough.
Yeah, then it's just a difference, they say, you know, raw mango and ripe mango.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. We may see all of us, like, you know, that's our conception. We think, oh, this person is, oh, I'm seeing for so many years, nothing is happening. No, but the process is powerful. And they are sincere to some extent or greater extent. So then it's just a matter of time that the results will show up.
Yes, to answer your question, it's not the question of, you know, anybody can speak power. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Whenever somebody wants to, you know, read Bhavan or something, in Sarup Dhammadhar Goswami, he is the
filter,
one to filter.
Yeah.
Then he says, you know, one person wrote, you know, some nice poetry or something, he gave. And then he told, you know, first you go and study Bhagavatam from a Bhagavata. Bhagavatam should be heard from a Bhagavata. So if you look at Prabhupada, so many times, I mean, actually I also thought so many times, why Prabhupada is again and again saying the same thing again? He, all the time he speaks about Bhagavatam should be heard from a Bhagavata.
Bhagavata
will never do Bhagavata for family maintenance. So when a speaker speaks, as a beautiful lecture by Gaurupal Prabhu, right? What is it? I forgot the title of the lecture. Basically, he says when the speaker gives, delivers the message, so the words are coming out, and the words are actually coming into the listener's ears. So it's like this, words are like vehicles, like a car. I come from my home to temple. I may come by my Vanpool, or you may come from your Toyota, or Prabhuji can come from his Chrysler. Vehicles are different. But the where does the vehicle stop? Vehicle stop in the parking lot. But who comes inside the temple? It's me. The driver.
Yeah.
So similarly, when the speaker speaks, right, the words are like that, vehicles. somebody may use PowerPoint, somebody may use Sanskrit language, quote more verses, somebody may not quote verses, somebody may speak English, somebody may speak Tamil, right? These are all different words, different vehicles to come to the temple. They all come and park here.
Mm-hmm.
But what goes inside is the speaker's consciousness.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not how one person speaks, how he delivers message. No. Right? In fact, Sutta Goswami, actually, if you listen in the previous chapters, the sages of Naimisharanya glorify Sutta Goswami, and also in the glorification they say, you are not expert in certain section of the Vedas.
Mm.
And Rompal Maharaj quotes that.
Mm.
He's not expert in all the section of Vedas. You are not expert in some certain parts of the Vedas. But that doesn't mean that he is not qualified to speak Bhagavatam. But he is speaking Bhagavatam because when he speaks, the consciousness of the speakers enters and it goes into the heart, and that's what changes the heart.
Mm. And similarly, if the consciousness of the speaker is contaminated, like Mayavadi or whatever, that's why it contaminates us. That's why Prabhupada so many times told not to hear from Mayavadis. Yeah.
So the consciousness of the speaker is very, very important. Anybody can give a speech. But if we are not properly Krishna conscious, that's why we should hear Bhagavatam from a
Bhagavatam. Very nice.
And also in Chaitanya Prabhu says, one can chant, what is become, we are talking Bhagavatam. But the end of the Bhagavatam is Harinam Sankirtan, right? Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Chaitanya Prabhu comes and spreads the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then Chaitanya Prabhu says, one can chant the holy name for millions of lifetimes, but still you won't get the benefit. The advancement, right, is depends on the attitude of the
follower.
So both things are there. The speaker should be properly conscious, and the listener should have the proper attitude. If both are not there,
okay.
So you should have a potent father and a potent mother to have a child. Right?
It's there in the...
Yeah. It's very nice, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Text number 16. Savai Maha Bhagavata Parishet Yena Bhavantakyam Abhadra Buddhi Jnanena Vaiyasati Sabditena Veje Kirtendra Dvajapada Moolam. O Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyasa, Sri Srila Sukadeva. So here now, sages are leading Suta Goswami into a particular topic. They know they want to hear more, but they are telling, you know, we want to hear how Maharaj Parikshit has taken shelter of the Lord. That's why the title is How Parikshit Maharaj Cursed by the Brahman Boy and How He Saved, and finally he hears from Sukadeva Goswami. So then here in the purport, Prabhupada talks about perfect stage of realization, liberation. Before that, he talks about two types of transcendentalists. They are impersonalists are also transcendentalists and devotees. Mainly he was telling, even though Sukadeva Goswami initially was an impersonalist, then he became a devotee later on. So he is actually Mahabhagavata. And because Parikshit Maharaj became Sukadeva Goswami's disciple, Parikshit Maharaj also became Mahabhagavata. And because of that, that's why these three categories Prabhupada describes. Mahabhagavata devotees, they don't differentiate between people. They see everybody as servant of God. Right? Prakrita, third class devotee, is like, you know, they respect God, but they are maybe, you know, not so much favorable to devotees or even outsiders and things like that. They just see God, like deity, as God. Right? Others, they don't care. Madhyama are, you know, they know who is devotees, they are who is innocent, who accordingly, the four categories, and accordingly they act. But Mahabhagavata devotees, they see everyone as servant of Krishna, even people who are in Maya. Because they see they are serving Krishna indirectly. Then they try to uplift them from where they are. So that's why Purport Prabhupada is telling that both Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are Mahabhagavatas. And one very important point Prabhupada is saying is, in the history, we have seen impersonalists becoming devotees. But we have never seen reverse. We have never seen devotees becoming impersonalists. So that shows that the devotee step is above impersonalists. So he's very logically is telling, you know, Sukadeva Goswami was impersonalist, he became devotees. Devotees, so you know, devotees are always higher than impersonalists.
That's a very good point.
So then, because of the taking shelter of Mahabhagavata, what destination did Maharaj Parikshit attain? He attained loving service of the Lord, and he also became Apavarga Vartmani, right? He basically got free from Pavargas. Papa, Baba, Ma, they are like, I don't know the exact word-to-word for these, but yeah, Pavarga, Rampad Maharaj always says, Apavarga means liberation from material bondage. That is perfect stage of liberation. So this is a very nice section, it's very sweet. Simple knowledge of liberation is material knowledge. This is jnana. Just we know about liberation. Actual freedom from material bondage is called liberation. So now we are getting little realization. But attainment of transcendental service of the Lord is called perfect stage of liberation. So the second word can be, you know, Brahman realized or whatever. We can free, we get, basically the negative thing is gone. You are in neutral state. But that is liberation. But beyond that, to attain transcendental loving service of the Lord, that is called perfect stage of liberation. That's what Parikshit Maharaj attained. Such a stage is attained by knowledge and realization, as we have already explained in Bhagavatam 1.2.12, and perfect knowledge as delivered by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So it has to be, knowledge has to be delivered by a perfect devotee. That results in attainment of transcendental loving service of the Lord. Last verse. Tanna param punya asamrithatham akhyanam atyadbhuta yoganishtam akhyananta charitopapannam parikshitam bhagavatabhiramam. Thus please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga. So they are telling, please narrate those topics which are spoken to Maharaj Parikshit. So now they are asking, when Maharaj Parikshit went and sat with Sukadeva Goswami, heard the topics, what are those topics? We want to hear that discussion between them. And because that is Bhagavatam, and that is very dear to pure devotees. So we want to hear the Bhagavatam, because it's full of devotional service to the Lord. So the take home for us is Srimad Bhagavatam is actually very, very dear to pure devotees. So what was spoken to, this is a whole purport, very small purport. What was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit and what is very dear to the pure devotees is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is mainly full of narrations of the activities of Supreme Unlimited, and therefore it is a science of Bhakti Yoga or devotional service of the Lord. Thus it is para or supreme, because although it is enriched with all knowledge and religion, it is specifically enriched with the devotional service of the Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives the devotional service of the Lord. So here I actually pray from all of you that, you know, I will also get little bit, you know, desire to read Srimad Bhagavatam properly. I get lot of inspiration from Premata Ragini Mataji, and they go deep. It's like into Srimad Bhagavatam, reading say many times and reading Acharya's commentaries and everything, you know, go deep into the pastimes. This is all like, you know, a goal somewhere one day to reach. I don't know when it will all manifest, but this should, like, as Vedanand Prabhu also exemplifies so much, he gets so much nectar in reading Bhagavatam, he thrives in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like, hopefully one day we can make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. And our life can be Srimad Bhagavatam. So some of the practical applications from this section, we basically develop eagerness to hear about the Lord. As we see the whole section, how sages want to hear more and more and more about the Lord. And we need to take advantage of devotee association, those Bhagavat Sanghis, pure devotees of the Lord, who are, their association is nothing compared to this material world. And we have to make Lord our exclusive shelter. That is when we give Bhagavatam or, you know, give class or whatever, then audience will get benefited. If our shelter is so many other things, then you know, that's what we will give them. As Prabhu was saying, consciousness of the speaker. So we have to refine ourselves so much that we can be benefit to others. That's why somebody may think, you know, okay, I'm chanting so rigorous. Somebody may say, you know, oh, I have to chant, I have to do. Somebody, it may seem selfish. No, always this person is about chanting or, you know, hearing, will focus on their things. But actually, what is the motive? Motive is, okay, I will get purified. Let's say if that is a motive, that I will get purified, that, you know, I can better serve people. Then it's not, that's real selfless service. Yeah, so we have to balance, of course, everything. So make Srimad Bhagavatam our dear most. So that should be the goal of our life. Like Srimad Bhagavatam should be our, where, actually once Prabhupada said, just first canto is enough. If you are deserted somewhere, if you just have Srimad Bhagavatam, you can perfect your life. First canto, even just first canto. That's why in first canto, Prabhupada covered most of the Bhagavatam.
He came to Amerika, he translated the first canto. Before coming to Amerika. Right? If you read Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita, you will know how Prabhupada struggled just to complete the first canto. The three volumes. After he finished that, then only he got the, you know, ticket to the ship. But to complete the first three volumes, oh my god. The Prabhupada's Lilamrita is amazing. How Prabhupada went to so much help. He goes to so many people, asking for money, you know, he himself did everything. He goes himself to the printing shop, he buys paper. He did everything on his own.
To give Bhagavatam.
So what we have Bhagavatam with us now. now we have you know, iPad, now we have everything, right? Now Amal Bhattulu is reciting, you know, we don't have time to even listen. everything is done. Prabhupada did all the hard work. At the age of 70, he went door to door, you know, got money, you know, personally he bought papers to be printed, go to the printing shop. Yeah, so much Prabhupada went through and he did Bhagavatam. Now it's available everywhere. His e-book is amazing, right?
Veda-based.
Kindle Vivo, and then, you know, everything is there, iPad, Kindle, everywhere it's available. We just need to avail it.
So some lectures from Maharaj and Prabhupada purports and yeah, okay, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Jai.